This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3448 for Wednesday, the 20th of October 2021. Today's show is entitled, Installing Gixp. It is hosted by Rowan and is about 45 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is, Rowan records installing Gixp to an external USB drive to be run on a Mac mini computer.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Welcome to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. Today I am going to try to once again install the Geeks SD onto my Mac Mini. Actually, I'll be using the Mac Mini as the CPU and stuff, but I have an external hard drive, USB hard drive, Seagate, I think, that I will be actually using for the hard drive, and this will be a backup device, hopefully. It may also end up being a little bit of a media server. We'll see. It's using my TV as the screen currently. So far, this is my second attempt. I actually, well, theoretically got it installed, but I decided to use the Lux like full disk encryption. And when I rebooted and tried to put in my password for the encrypted volume, I just kept getting errors and getting thrown into the grub rescue prompt. So I am now trying this again. Going to just reinstall without that, and we'll worry about encryption later. So once it boots up, you and you pick the install, it comes to a nice, if you know, very, if you're, you know, first introduction to some of the nice installers of the early 90s, well, I guess not early 90s, mid to late 90s, you'll be very familiar with this. Kind of reminds me of my old Debian installations. You get a nice, I guess it's a Windows-based, but like, you know, in cursors style, kind of cursors style menu selection. So right now I'm on the select your language, which for me is the default to English. So I'm going to pick English, and I scroll down to America. Hit enter, time zone, let's see, I've got a whole bunch. They're in alphabetical order, so I will look for New York, because that puts in the right one for me. New York. Now I can pick the keyboard layout, which I will just be using the English US, but they do have bunches. I think you'll be able to find the keyboard layout and language and time zone that you are currently using and living in. Please choose a variant of your keyboard. Please enter a system host name. Oh, right. What was I going to call this? I guess I had something related, but I can't remember what I was going to call it. I guess I'll try it back up. B-A-C-K-U-P. Yep, that'll do. Enter. Did that not work? Tab. Enter the host name. Okay, all right. No Ethernet service available. Please try again. Why did I not? Oh, where's my Ethernet? It should be hardwired. I don't think the drive Geeks is going to have the drivers for the Wi-Fi for a Mac Mini. Not sure why. What is going on? Let me. All the connections are there. Try again. Hit enter. Waiting for take. Oh, waiting for internet. Okay. Yep, I must have just had. The cable doesn't, the clip. Oh, wait. Selecting network does not provide access to the internet. Please try. What is going on? Waiting for tech wire. Waiting for internet access establishment. All right. I don't know what's going on. Please choose one of the following. Why do I not have an internet? Is that is the that is that cable? Whoops. Is it not? No, I just plugged in. Seems to be. I don't know what's going on. This makes for exciting radio or podcasting. Do I not have a light coming on? What's going on? Try this again. Oh, by turning on this option, you allow. Okay, I'm not sure what was going on with the cables, but a couple of pushing them in and out and finally connected. I probably should get a better cable. By turning on, let's see, substitute server discovery. By turning this option on, you allow Geeks to fetch substitutes, pre-built binaries during installation from servers discovered on your local area network. In addition to the official server, this can increase download throughput. There are no security risks, only genuine substitutes. Sure, I'll enable it, although there's nothing going to be on my network. Please choose a password for the system administrator. Okay. I did actually already have this selected, so I will edit out the boring parts once I actually get these typed in. Okay, so first they do require a root password, which I put in. It is nice. They do let you select a box so you can see it. One of the things I ran into with the Mac Mini was, of course, they has a Bluetooth keyboard and mouse, which, of course, you know, Geeks doesn't recognize. So I went and I bought a handy-dandy little RII Mini X1 mini keyboard. It's like, I guess, the size of a sort of a full-size TV remote, but it has, it's a QWERTY keyboard. It's got a trackpad on it. It's got like a little mouse's buttons for left and right mouse click and everything, but the advantage to it is you could use it either as a USB directly, or it actually has a USB Bluetooth connection itself. So you plug the USB dongle into the back of the Mac Mini, and then you can use the keyboard remotely, which is nice. And it's nice and small, so I can tuck it away under the TV with the Mac Mini. So I was able to, using the keyboard, verify the passwords, and they do make you verify it. Now I have to add a regular user and do the password thing. So I will be right back after I put a standard user and standard user password in. Okay, after adding my standard user, I'm now at a new screen that lets you pick the desktop environment. They do have several here, GNOME, XFCE, Mate, Enlightenment, OpenBox, Awesome, i3, RatPoison, Emacs, EX, WM. I think I'm going to go with XFCE just because I'm trying to minimize the requirements because I don't know, like, the drivers for the graphics chip on the Mac Mini. I'm not sure what's, you know, how much of the graphics driver I'm going to be able to use. And I do like the look of XFCE, and it does run nice on, you know, either restricted environment, you know, devices or devices that aren't, you know, cranking out things on the GPU. So let's go with that. Let's see, tab. Oops, too far. Shift. Okay. All right, now you can now select networking services to run on your system. They do have choices for OpenSSH, Tor, and they default with Mozilla NSS certificates for HTTPS access. I'll leave that, and I'll add an SSH server. Oops. Well, somehow, how do I go back? Well, I'll have to add the SSH server. I got confused, and I thought I was selecting the server, but somehow went to the next screen, which is partitioning. I'm just going to pick guided using the entire disk. Last time I did guided using the entire disk with encryption, but that's where I ran into issues. So I'm just going to pick guided using the entire disk this time and get things working, hopefully. And I don't see my disk, external disk. Why don't I see my external disk? It's not plugged in. I thought it was still plugged in. It's still plugged in. Oh, is it because it got... I see the original Apple 500 gigabyte, which I don't want to do anything with. I see my SanDisk Ultra 30 gigabit. But that's because... And that's what the installer's on. And these don't see. Okay, well, that's nothing simple. I don't know why. Unless for some reason it's. I don't know why it didn't see the other disk. All right, well, let me stick that external on my laptop and see what's going on, and then see if I can get this thing working again. I'll be back. Okay, so I stuck the external drive on my laptop, and it popped up and asked me for the encrypted password, and I put it in, and then I could see all the installed files from before. So, yeah, so that is an issue with the installer, or maybe whatever's accepting the password when I type it in. For whatever reason, it would not, like, encrypt the hard drive and then continue the boot process. So I did just reformatted the external drive to ext4, and I've rebooted, and now I will go through all the steps. Ugh. That includes putting in the password. That's fun on this keyboard. But anyway, I will be back once I get up to format the hard drive side, and we'll see how things are. Okay, so I'm now back actually at the point where I can select a interface. Hopefully I can do that right this time. Yes, okay, now I'm going to get interface as in desktop. So I've now selected XFCE. Okay, let me see if I can get OpenSSH installed. Okay. All right, now guided using the entire disk. Now let's see if the disk shows up. Arr! It used to... Oh, what is going on? Why is it not... I don't understand. It's not... not working yet. I really don't want to do this again. Alright, well, I guess hopefully third time will be a charm. I'm going to not format it, but just completely erase this disk. I don't know what's going on and why it's not. I know it was definitely found before, so I don't know why it doesn't like it this time around. It's very frustrating, but let me try again. Okay, so I threw the external drive back onto my laptop, and I used it parted to just wipe both the boot partition and the main partition, so there was just an empty drive with no partitions. I then stuck it back in to the Mac Mini, and somehow, like, you basically can exit out, and it gets to a point where it then lets you gives you options to where you want to start on the installation again. And I went back to partitioning, and when it came back, it had, I guess, recognized my Seagate backup drive. So now I see it, and I will be able to install onto it. So I'm very happy. I didn't have to go through the whole, process again, particularly putting in passwords multiple times for the root user and the regular user. So let's see. Oops, that is my laptop and not the right keyboard. Let's see. So let's go down to Seagate. 802 gigabytes. I think that's 8 terabyte drive. Exit. Nope. Enter. Okay. Everything is in one partition separate. This is what I wasn't sure about before. Do I want a separate home? And I'm just going to do everything as one. Seagate, SAT32 boot, Linux swap. Sure, that looks great. Oops, a little too far. So this part is asking you, what you want your divisions to be. So I've got... There'll be three partitions. The first will be a 576 megabyte SAT32 for the boot partition. The second is the Linux swap. It looks like it's 4 gig. And then almost 8 terabytes. Terabytes? Yes. Of EXT4, single root partition. Okay, well, now you get the format disk. We are about to write the configuration. Table to disk and format the partitions listed below. Their data will be lost. You wish to continue. Continue. Partition formatted is in progress. Please wait. Okay, I guess I can pause again, although I guess I could just let it go until, I don't think it took that long. Oh, it didn't. Okay, we're back. All right, so now we are now ready to proceed with the installation. A system configuration file has been generated. It is displayed below. This file will be available as etcconfig.scm on the installed system. The new system will be created from this file once you've pressed OK. This will take a few minutes. So with Geeks, everything is basically comes down to a configuration file. So this is the main configuration file for this that will be used for this system. So the configuration file contains basically a list of everything you've selected. You have use service modules, desktop, networking, SSH, Xorg. And then under the operating system, the locale is ENUS.UTF-8, time zone, America, New York. Keyboard layout, keyboard layout US. We have host name, backup. User account, name, Rowan, comment, Rowan as in my first name, full name. Groups, puts me under default of users, the home directory, home Rowan. Supplementary groups that are defaulted in are Wheel, NetDev, Audio, Video. And then there's looks like a variable for base user accounts. I'm not sure what all this means. And then there's a packages, this is append, and then list, specification, points to packages, NSS-certs. And then we have services, append, list, service, XFC desktop service type. We have service OpenSSH service type, set org configuration, Xorg configuration, keyboard layout. I guess that was setting up the actual packages from the modules that were imported before. And then we have bootloader, bootloader configuration, bootloader grub EF bootloader, and then target /boot/EFI. And then keyboard layout, and I think that pretty much covers it. Let's see. Scroll down on the screen a little bit. Okay, it keeps going. I was gonna say that not too far. Okay, then we have swap devices, then file systems, mount point. Which is for the boot EFI, that's for the boot partition, and then file system mount point for root, and it gives a list of the device and the file system type. And that seems to cover the configuration file. Yep, alright, so now let's go on to the next screen. Oops, I did not want to edit. Apparently Nano is the default editor. Let me see if I can control exit. Is that control? Yeah, I think that's control X. Control X. Oops. Press enter to continue. Okay, now let me see if I can get to the right tab. Okay. Enter. Okay. All right. So now we're back to sort of like not the shell. More like standard out or something. And now we're getting Shepherd service. GeoX daemon has started. Substitute updating substitutes. So basically scrolling down, it seems like the system is starting up. It looks like download. Okay, so I guess they're actually updating the system and downloading newer packages to be installed, is what it looks like. I'm guessing this might take a little bit of time. So I will be back once it's done updating. Okay, so that was a bigger pause than I figured. It is now like September 11th, so August 31st was the last time I got back to this project. excuse me, I had just left the Mac Mini running. Apparently we had a power flicker at some point and it went off. So now I'm going to see if I can get back to a state after playing around. I do see the boot disk on my USB stick again. I have to say, the Mac Mini, at least this model, to get to the, you know, select a different disk option for booting, all you have to do is hold down the Alt key on your keyboard as it boots up. It is so nice, and it just pops up nice graphical, you know, the Macintosh, Orthomatic, however it's called, icons, and it's called EFI boot, and then you just hit, you know, select it with your arrow keys and then hit enter, and it boots, and now I'm back to the grub, you know, GUIC startup. So I'm assuming I'm hoping it's going to find the disk again. It's still booting up back into the installer. Then again, nope, I'm getting some kind of error. Well, no, it's still booting. Something's booting, I'm not sure. So we'll see if I can get back to where I was, or if I'm going to have to start this process all over again. I now have a blank screen. Oh, there we are. Okay, so now we're back at the very beginning. So now let me see if I can pick. Configure proxy. Well. It looks like I may be going through the boot the whole install process again. That's painful, but not too painful. Anyway, let me flip through some of these things and see if I can get back to that configure page for the install configure that GeeksSD uses for the system. And then I'll continue. All right, so I did have to go through the whole reinstall process again, which meant putting in root and new user password again. But anyway, I then got back to the point where I was going to repartition the disk, and it wasn't showing the Seagate. External drive wasn't showing up again. So you can, at this point where it's asking you to select a disk, go to exit. That will take you back to the screen that lets you decide, you know, where you want to restart your installation from. So it has the different sections like pick a keyboard and add users and all that stuff. So if you then, I unplugged the USB drive and plugged it back in, and then I went back to partitioning, and it is now showing up again. I'm not sure why it didn't show up on boot, other than I guess because the install wasn't completed. I'm not really sure. But anyway, so now I am back to the point where I can do the formatting of the disk. So I'll run through all that stuff, do the install, and then I'll pick back up after that point. Okay, so now it looks like it is finished installing again. Geek system bootloader successfully installed on /boot/EFI. Press enter to continue. So let's see, let's hit enter. Some demons are starting. The Geeks-Daemon, to be precise, or daemon. And now I'm sitting and wait, seeing what's happening. I can't hear the hard disk clicking away. That's the one thing I noticed when it was installing. It is, I mean, it's not super loud, but it is noticeable in a quiet room. But I think I can live with that. hopefully everybody else will be able to also. All right, still waiting to see what's going to happen. I think we went through this before. It's been so long, I can't remember. I guess I will hit pause and come back when I get to another screen. Okay, after about another 30 seconds or so, I now have installation complete. Congratulations, installation is now complete. You may remove the device containing the installation image and press the button to reboot. So let me remove that thumb drive. And the moment of magic. Let's hit enter. All right, looks like it's shutting down. And it is rebooting, the magical Mac sound for rebooting, and I hear the disk drive, and we're at Grub Rescue. Something tells me that maybe it's not the encryption disk, maybe it just can't find the boot disk. Because it maybe doesn't have drivers to load the USB external at this point. That is very unhandy. I keep hearing it dinking away though, so I'm not sure what's going. Attempt to read or write outside of disk here. Grub Rescue. So it does boot to Grub. So that means it feels like it's... Okay, maybe I've set myself up for failure. Let me type ls in the group Grub Rescue. Enter. I see... two disks, an HD0 and an HD1, which would make me think that's the hard disks. Because it had two partitions on it. Each of those have GPT-3, GPT-2, GPT-1, GPT-3, GPT-2. So they each have three partitions on them. I know if I... Alright, let me reboot and... Hey, that's frustrating. Let's see. Reboot and hit Alt. Just make sure it's actually seeing the external drive. I mean, I'm assuming it is because it's got to Grub. Don't know why it's not then. Come on. No. Well, that's annoying. So it's not, this external drive is not showing up as like an EFE drive. I just see the Macintosh HD in the recovery. For 10.13.6, so maybe, so I guess maybe Grub got installed to the main HD, which I guess would make sense, and this disk isn't being recognized at boot. I don't know if there's some way, if there's something else I have to do. I mean, I guess one way around it would be to have like a small USB disk that then boots and then... All right, well... I don't know if that's the symbol for... or the sign that I need to give up in this particular configuration and maybe just back up the Macintosh hard drives. Or partitions. Well, HT0. Now let me play around a little bit. If I find something. Well, let's see what happens when we hit enter on the Macintosh HD. Oh, nope, I'm booting into Apple just like it said. All right. That was painful. All right. I guess I can. Once I boot into the Mac, I can get in and see what the hard disk selector says. Maybe I can reboot. Let me pause for a bit once this is booting up, and let me get to that, and we'll come back. Okay. Well, I mean, the Mac booted. Of course, I looked at the startup disk, but why? I thought I didn't check the. I guess I was stupid, but it's the XT4, so it's not going to recognize it anyway. So anyway, I just shut down the Mac and then pulled the external disk, the USB connection off the Mac Mini, and put it on my Linux laptop. And, of course, it just shows right up in the file viewer, connected as a USB 8 terabyte volume, 3.6 gigabytes used. If I look at the root of it, it's got a bin, a boot directory, Etsy, GNU, which I'm assuming is the store for geeks. Yep. I mean, yep. So it's installed correctly. So my guess is actually the first time I did this, it probably installed correctly. And I haven't tested. I may have even tested that. That's painful. So. Oh yeah, I did test that, but I was thinking that it wasn't loading the encrypted thing correctly. But for whatever reason, when the Mac is booting, it's not seeing this as a viable disk. So I'm not sure why. So I'll have to look into that and hopefully not reinstall this, just figure out some way to modify the disk to say it. I'm going to look at this and part it and see what part it gives me. Okay, so actually I did a DF on it at first, and it is showing up as /dev/sdc3. I do have two other hard drives on my laptop, so that makes sense. I unmounted it, and I'm now looking at just the dev directory, and I see, sdb. I see the SDC driver with the three partitions, three devices, SDC1, SDC2, SDC3. So let me run parted on dev SDC. Typing, waiting for sudo. This is weird. There we go. It's still running. Let me write. I think it's print. It says it's using dev SDC. So print. So I have three partitions, just like it said. A 576 megabyte FAT32 boot that has a boot flag on it. Four gigabyte Linux swap. And then the main partition, which is almost 8 terabytes. So I don't, I have to look into this a little bit more. I mean, it looks like it's set up right. It's got a boot flag. It's a FAT32. It should be recognizable. I'm not sure if there's something. Why it's not being recognized at boot up. Alright, let me look into this and I'll see if I can figure something out. Alright, so I've now booted back into the Mac just to see what it's seeing. It is showing the external disk, but it's only showing the Linux swap one. I mean, it's saying it doesn't know, you know, anything about it other than its size. But it's not showing any of the other two partitions on it. And I don't know why it wouldn't at least show the first one, because it's a boot, you know, it's a FAT32 partition. I mean, I would think it would be able to at least see that. But anyway, let me do a little more research and see if I can figure something else out, although I have the feeling there is going to be a another reinstallation in my future. Okay, so if I'm looking at the dev directory on the Mac, I do see a disk 0 and a disk 1. Disk 0, I'm assuming, is the Mac one. Disk 1 seems to be, according to, you know, what I found in the disk utility, as in seeing the swap for whatever reason, disk 1 S2, and I do see a disk 1, a disk 1 S1, a disk 1 S2, and a disk 1 S3. Okay, so that gives me some hope. Let me see if I can actually somehow mount disk 1 S1 and see what's on it. Okay, I guess Google's, well, searching is your friend, and apple.stackexchange.com is also your friend. I didn't even think about the fact that there's the command line disk util on the Mac, so disk util space list, and that does show up both disks, and it's, you know, actually very nice with all the information. It's dev disk 1. External, physical, you know, the giving me information, you know, the GUID partition scheme under the type, size 8 terabytes, disk 1, so that's, you know, pretty much guarantees that's the right disk. And I can see for partition 1, it says EFI, no name, and it's 575.7 megabytes. Part 2, Linux swap. Part 3, Linux file system. Okay. So maybe that is the second disk when I do that boot. That's three partitions. So let me try that again. And maybe we are down to needing to get some kind of driver in. I don't know. Let me see. It's also starting to get noisy in the house as the morning goes on, so it may be harder to record. Okay, well, it has been another month since I last worked on this project. I ran into some issues with my operating system on my laptop and had to reinstall. Another story for hopefully a very short another time on Hacker Public Radio. But anyway, I come to conclusion at this point, this is just beyond my current technical skills, if it is possible, to set up a Mac Mini running Geeks off of an external USB hard drive. I think I'm just going to make an image of the Mac Mini hard drive so that I can restore it with the Mac operating system at some point in the future if I need to or want to. And I'm then just going to see if I can get Geeks installed directly onto the Mac Mini drive and see if that solves my installation issues. But thank you for your persistence and patience up to this point. I'm not going to avail you of that story yet. I will try to wrap this up now.
So I think overall, I like the Geeks Installer. Yes, it's a little old school in its looks, but it flows nicely. Gives you good options, you know, for all your various languages, keyboard setups, options for installing software. Walks you through nicely, explains things nicely of what it's doing on each step, and you know, you can get back and go through different steps if you know, within the install process if you need to. So overall, I think it's a great installer. Looking forward to actually getting it installed on a machine that I'm going to use hopefully on a regular basis. I do currently have Geeks installed on a VM. I have messed with it a little bit, but not too much. And so with that, I will say thank you, and please stay tuned for more adventures with Hacker Public Radio.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.